Well, good morning. It's good to have you with us this morning. We'll start with an announcement this morning. Melinda and I are, I've got a week when I don't have a doctor's appointment, so Melinda and I are taking a vacation this week. We've been saying for a long time that we can do hard things. I hope this is not a hard thing to do, but maybe this is one of those good things. But we are actually going to Maine. I have a cousin who lives up there who invited us to come up. They have a house on the lake up there, so we're going to go up on Tuesday and be back next Sunday. Hope to see some moose and eat some pie. So those are my goals for the week. So we appreciate your prayers, but we leave Tuesday morning early, and as long as I'm feeling good, which I feel pretty good this morning, so just thought we would let you know. Okay. She's been trying to get me to take that pain pill for like 3 weeks now. I'm not sure what the point is there. I told her it's not a sleeping pill, but it's like I'm a toddler or something, you know. She's trying to get rid of me for a little while. But anyway. This week we're talking about decision making. And I think that this really goes back, this is God's fault, you know. Because what's the hardest decision we have to make? What are we having for supper, right? Or if you're going out to eat, where do you want to go? The toughest decision we have to make. And it goes back all the way back to the garden when God created man and woman. He put them in the garden. What did he say? He said, you're free to eat from any tree of the garden that you want to. Why didn't he just say on Monday night, eat the apple tree? On Tuesday night, eat the peach tree? Then we wouldn't have this decision to make. And it's kind of like he didn't learn his lesson. In the New Testament, he gave that vision to Peter. Remember, he let down the blanket and it had all the animals on it, all the four-footed creatures and the reptiles and the birds. And God says to him, kill and eat. And Peter says, no, I can't do that. Those things are not all clean. And God says, don't call unclean what I've made clean. And so here's this dilemma. You know, now we have Burger King and Chick-fil-A and Long John Silver's and the Red Pig. We got all these different animals to pick from. Why didn't he just say, you know, all you can eat is beef or all you can eat is chicken? Then we'd be in good shape. And so this whole idea of decision-making has been part of our dilemma forever. And a couple of weeks ago, Laura preached and she talked about too many options. Remember her story about the ice cream aisle and how taxing that is? All the choices we have. And I think it becomes a problem for us as Christians because we get this idea that the will of God is this one set of choices. Like our lives are scripted, and that every crossroads, there is only one right answer. So if you have a multitude of options, but only one is correct, then that creates a lot of stress for us. It puts us in this position where we're always fearful of making the wrong step, of messing up. If I make a wrong decision, it ruins my life, or it messes up this will, this plan that God has for me. And so I think as we think about decision-making as Christians, that looks different for us. There are a lot of ways to deal with decision-making that doesn't have to do with being Christian. You know, if you go, you know, the other big decision is you go to the closet in the morning and you want to figure out, what am I going to wear today? Well, I figured out that one. I was going to have a uniform. You know, I was going to have all my pants were going to look the same and all my shirts were going to look the same. I thought that would make it simple because then you don't have any choices. So these are the pants I picked out. The shirt, I picked out a shirt, and first time I washed it, I had an ink pen in the pocket and got ink all over it. So I'm not sure if that's God's sign, that that's not his will for me, or I'm just a bad laundry person. But if we want to make decisions in other areas of life, that's okay. If you want to figure out how to make the best decision at work, that's one thing, I guess. If you want to make a decision about how to be happy, that's another decision. But if we are believers in Christ, then we have this purpose for our lives. If you take a potato, it's kind of a big jump here, but if you take a potato, what is the purpose of potato? The purpose of potato is to be delicious, right? To be edible. And so if you take it out of the ground when it's ready, you can do a lot of different things with it. You can scallop it, whatever that means. You can cream it or mash it, which none of those sound like very pleasant for the potato, but they work out for us. You can have potato salad. You can have potato patties. We did when I was a kid. You know, if you didn't eat all the mashed potatoes, Mom would make them into potato patties, potato cakes. You can have French fries, tater tots. You can bake them. You can twice bake them. All kinds of ways you can get that potato to the place where it fulfills its purpose, which is to be delicious. And so for us, we need to know what our purpose is. And if we follow Jesus, our purpose, he tells us, is to love God with all our hearts and to love our neighbor. And as we've been talking about, the way what that looks like is being part of what God is doing in the world, to be part of his story as he brings the kingdom to pass in the situations around us. And so if we want to make decisions, discernment is figuring out what love looks like in this moment. That's the key for us as decision makers. What does love look like in this moment? What does it look like to be a witness to the love of God in this situation with these folks? And so, how do we get from here to there? And that looks different for all of us because we're kind of like potatoes, you know. There's a lot of different ways to fulfill that purpose. For you is different than for me. It's 9 weeks till Thanksgiving. Talk about stress. That'll kick it up a little bit. But if you're going to cook Thanksgiving dinner like I won't, because I don't know how, but if that was my responsibility, I would panic, you know, because I don't know how to do that. But everybody has this way of doing their Thanksgiving dinner that they think is best for their situation. Melinda does dishes based on who likes what. Our boys like boxed macaroni and cheese, so that's what they get, despite all the other effort she puts into it. But you can put all that together, and the end result is that it is the Thanksgiving dinner that you want it to be. And so for you and for me, as we live through this life, there are a lot of different ingredients and dishes that we can choose from that will still fit into the plan of God. It's not one particular set of choices. It's not one script. But there are 100 different ways for me to express the love of God to the people around me. Now, some of them are better than others. There's no doubt about that. Some of them I'm better at than others are. But just because I don't pick the very best one doesn't mean that I'm not fulfilling the will of God for my life. We get this stress. I used to think about the will of God for my life and this plan of God like this two-way street that we're going down. And the goal is to stay in your lane, to make sure you do all the right things and you make the right decisions and you don't wander out. Because if you wander across that middle line, bad things are going to happen. Or if you go across over into the ditch, bad things are going to happen. And so the focus is to make sure I take all the right steps. But as I went along, I decided, as I read the Word and I looked at how God acted and what the world, how we lived in the world, I decided that it wasn't really like that. It was more like a one-way street. And so the idea is that we're moving in this direction together and we want to not bump into each other, but we still have a little bit of leeway which lane we choose or which direction we're going, but we're still moving toward this fulfilling of God's will for us. But then I decided that it's not even like that, but it's more like a river. This river of the Spirit of God that moves us by its own power in the direction God wants us to go. That there is God at work in us, leading us and guiding us. And that's what his word says, that he will lead us and guide us and direct us. So that we're not just wandering around and we're not just trying to figure it out on our own, but there is this momentum to the Spirit of God that helps us make decisions in how to love the people around us, how to bear witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you read over in Colossians chapter 1, Paul has this prayer for the church at Colossae. He says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this," he prays that they will know God's will for them, "so that they may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." Now that's kind of overwhelming, isn't it? That we would live a life worthy of the Lord. As if I'm going to please him in every good way. You know, really? Right? Because we have this idea in our heads of what that looks like. That somebody who is fulfilling the will of God looks like Mother Teresa. Somebody who's living a life worthy of the Lord is the Pope, you know. That the only people who ever did that were Peter or Paul or Mary. And see what I did there? These people who are not like us. But what if? What if it looks more like you and me than it does Peter or Paul or the Pope? And that's what Paul says. Because before he says this, he says to the Colossians, you know what? I have heard about your faith. He said, I've heard about how much you love all people. I have heard about this hope that you have in the Lord. He says that I have heard about how the gospel is growing and multiplying and spreading in all the world because of your lives. In the first verses before he prays this prayer, he has already said that that is true. God was already leading them. God was already leading them to find his will, to experience this life that was worthy of the Lord who saved us. Maybe it looks like us more than it looks like perfection. Maybe this is what it looks like to follow Jesus. Yeah, we got a long way to go. Yeah, there's a lot of times I mess it up, and sometimes I have no idea what I'm doing. Sometimes I know that I'm coming short of what I wish I was. But maybe God is leading me in this moment. God is already at work in us. He says at the end of chapter 1, he says that the mystery that has been hidden for all the ages has now been revealed, that to the Gentiles, that Christ lives in you. And that is the hope of our glory. That Christ already lives in us. And so, how do we make decisions? We make them by trusting the God who already lives in us. Paul says to the Colossians, as you read that book, he says, you don't need any special knowledge. You don't need any special understanding. There's no new set of rules that God wants you to learn. That God, he just asks that you continue to live in Christ. He said that there's not Greek or Gentile, there's not slave or free, there's not male or female. He said that we are all in this together, and God is already at work in you. It's not for the elite, it's not for the special, but God is at work in all of us. No matter what our lives look like, God is leading us. And for those who choose to follow Christ, he will lead us, and he will direct us. And so, how do we make those decisions? Yeah, we read his word. But you know, if you go in there looking for when you should give your kid a cell phone, it's probably not going to tell you when you should do that. If you want to know which shoe you should put on first in the morning, it's probably not going to tell you that. The Bible has some things. You know, you shouldn't go out and murder anybody. You shouldn't lie. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't be unfaithful. You shouldn't do things that are deceptive. You shouldn't hurt your neighbor, but instead you should love your neighbor. But what the scripture gives us is a compass instead of a map. It tells us the direction we should live more than it tells us the steps we should take. And I think sometimes when we think about making decisions as Christians, we make the mistake of keeping our feet on the ground because we want to make sure we don't make a wrong step. That the next step I take is exactly what God wants me to do. And when I do that, I keep my eyes on my feet, and I don't see the people around me, when that's what God wants me to do, is to see people and to care about them. There are a lot of ways to love the people around us, not just one particular way. Yeah, some are better than others, and sometimes I get it wrong, and I think it will help, and it doesn't. But that's what he calls us to do. Not to get it exactly right, but to move in the direction of faithfulness, to be part of him building his kingdom. And yeah, we need to pray. We need to ask God to give us direction. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. But maybe if you're like me, you've been in that place where you have prayed and prayed and prayed and asked God to give you direction. to show you what to do. And it seems like he doesn't answer. It seems like he doesn't give you a clear decision or direction to go. And maybe in those moments, God is saying to us, I'm already guiding you. I'm already leading you. And the fact that you are seeking my guidance is the answer to your prayer. That the fact that you are reminding yourself that you belong to him. And then I think we need to seek the counsel of the community. You know, you're not as smart as you think you are. And the people around you are not as dumb as you think they are. People, we can help each other. We can talk to each other. We need people who know our story and who can help us make decisions and find our way. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. We all do this together. And then I think one of the things that we do that helps us most of all is we practice loving people. If you want to know what to do in the big decisions, practice it in the little decisions. Every day, choose to love the people in your house, the people you work with, the people you run into. And then practice intentionally finding ways to love people who are outside your normal route. Step across the boundaries. Find ways to connect with people who are not like us. All of those things create in us this momentum that, added to the work of the Holy Spirit, whose current moves us along, is kind of like paddling downstream. It helps us as we gain that momentum and that practice at doing it. And then I think there is this, maybe the thing that we need is this sense of freedom to make choices, to choose to follow Jesus, to believe that he will guide us. Not to be too presumptuous, but also not to be too resistant or reticent about following and acting. To believe that God will use me in the relationships that I have. And so the decisions we have to make should not create this stress, but this sense of anticipation. Like, what will God do in this relationship? What will he teach me? How will he use me to care for the people around me? Because decision making is not about me. It's about the people around us. We like that special revelation. You know, we like for God to speak to us out of a burning bush or for a cloud of fire to lead us down the way, to show us which way to go. But maybe we don't really need a sign at every crossroads. Maybe we just need faith that God wants to guide us, that he's not resistant to being in charge of our lives, but that he wants to take us where he wants us to be, to fulfill the purpose he has for us. That God cooperates with us as we cooperate with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who is at work in us. That having chosen Christ, we choose also to live our lives for his purpose. To be part of the kingdom coming. To love our neighbor and to love you. And so, Father, help us to see our decisions and our choices in the light of that purpose. And to believe that your Holy Spirit does help us and give us wisdom. And that there are a lot of different ways for us to fulfill this will of God for us. Help us, Father, to live boldly. To live not afraid of making mistakes. But to be eager to be obedient. And to find you at work in us, partnering with us to build our lives and to build your kingdom. And so, Father, as we come to your table this morning, we come believing that you are already at work in our lives, that you have wooed us and welcomed us to this moment, that through all the things that went before, all the decisions, good and bad, right and wrong, poor and better, through all of those things, we have arrived at this moment. And in this moment, we know that you love us, that Christ has died for us, and that you are at work in our lives, forming us into the people you want us to be, so that we might be in the world the people you want us to be. And so, Father, we come in faith, not because we know or we'll get it right, but we come in faith that you desire more to guide us than we desire to be guided. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you join me?